Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 Heater. Stay warm and save $50 on the Gen 40. Order today at EdenPure.com and use code word HOWIEDEAL. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Hope you're having a good day. We've already gone through a little bit of sound here from Governor Cuomo, but we have a lot more to get to. I want to talk about the Capitol riots a little bit because you remember yesterday, the impeachment situation really went awry for the Democrats over the weekend. And then there was rumors that they were going to call Nancy Pelosi up as a witness. And that's when the Democrats said, nope, forget it. We're out. We quit. Let's finish it right now. And I think that got a lot of Republicans thinking, like, what does Nancy Pelosi know? Because they sent her a letter yesterday where they basically said, we want to know if the Capitol Police asked for help and why you denied it, if you denied it. This is the actual letter. Dear Speaker Pelosi, the American people deserve answers to a few straightforward questions regarding the security of the Capitol on January 6th, when then Chief Sund made a request for National Guard support on January 4th. Why was that request denied? Did Sergeant at Arms Paul Irving get permission or instruction from your staff on January 4th prior to denying Chief Sund's request for the National Guard? That's an interesting question. And I think it's one that a lot of people are curious about. And it was sent by a few different members, including Jim Jordan, Devin Nunes, and Pelosi, I do not believe, has given an answer. But a story that I saw today, which I thought really broke this down well, was by Byron York. And he reached out to the Capitol Police, and he asked them all sorts of questions. And I want to read you some of the questions that Byron asked, because I think that they're pretty basic questions that we should know by now. It's been a long time since, if this was any other, you know, scandal, we would know these answers. How many Capitol Police officers were injured in the riot? What were their injuries? What is their condition now? Did Capitol Police confiscate any firearms from rioters? If so, how many and what types? What is the status of the investigation into the killing of Officer Sicknick? Is there an autopsy report for Officer Sicknick? If so, will it be released to the public, or will its key findings be released to the public? What is the status of the investigation into the shooting of Ashley Babbitt? Has it been ruled a justifiable shooting? Who was the officer who shot Ms. Babbitt? Did any other officers discharge firearms during the rioting? If so, under what circumstances? Did any rioters discharge any firearms during the rioting? If so, under what circumstances? And what I find amazing about this is the lack of transparency that Democrats are expected to have. Because you'll remember any time during Trump's presidency where something came up about his taxes, about absolutely anything, how many scoops of ice cream he has, Pelosi was the first one out there to say, all right, we'll open up an investigation. We'll get to the bottom of this. We're sending a team over to investigate. We're spending more of your taxpayer dollars on this. This is important. We need to get to the bottom of it. And these questions, she's not going to give an answer to. It's okay to question Trump and to question any person in Trump's orbit, but it's not okay to question Nancy Pelosi. It's not okay, just like it's not okay for Wolf Blitzer to ask her a question or for anyone to talk back to her or for the media to ask her about her haircut that she got in a closed down hair salon. She is, what do they call Joe Biden? He was above the fray. Nancy Pelosi is above the fray. cannot ask her any questions. And Byron York tweeted out, among other things, I asked Capitol Police how many firearms were confiscated at a Capitol riot and asked whether any rioters fired any guns. Got no answer. Those are questions that you'd think would be out there by now. And also, they kept saying an armed insurrection. So if it's an armed insurrection, you do think firearms. So how many firearms were confiscated?
How soon before Republicans are pouncing on Capitol insurrection by asking questions?
Oh, well, you know, we do nothing in this business but pounce and seize and weaponize. I'm guilty of it. I pounce all day long. I tweet out these stories. I print them out. I'm like, I'm seizing on this one today. Marcus, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Marcus. Marcus?
Hi, Grace.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hi, do you watch The Bachelor, Bachelorette?
I do, depending on the season. I go back and forth. Sometimes I fall out of it. I missed this season and the last one before it.
Okay, well, I'm just curious if you are aware of the Chris Harrison scandal that's going on right now. He has been canceled. It's just to show you how, you know, crazy cancel culture has gotten. I don't know if you've looked into it. I just want to know your thoughts and if you've been on top of it.
Thank you, Marcus, for the call. I do know enough about it. I know who Chris Harrison is. That's number one. That puts me ahead of the game. And I know that he was having a conversation about one of the contestants has racist posts or racist pictures, or, you know, they want her canceled. Whether or not there are problematic things, I have not looked into that far enough. What I know about Chris Harrison is he was having a conversation with another Bachelor person, and he, I think, just wanted this Bachelorette or Bachelor contestant to be able to tell her side of the story before, you know, the world ruined her life. And that was what got him canceled. They thought he was excusing her racism. I think the thing I would draw it, Marcus, the closest to would be Megyn Kelly, because you'll remember Megyn Kelly got fired from NBC, not for wearing blackface, but for talking about blackface and trying to understand what's offensive about blackface and why we don't do blackface. And, you know, really, for all this, the media talk about racism and learning and whatever, someone was actually trying to learn about something and have an open conversation, and the result was she was let go. And that's a similar thing with Chris Harrison. He was talking about it. And I got a text from a friend who watches The Bachelor and all those shows, and she said, people are going to be so afraid to talk about anything. And I already see that. I mean, I go to a restaurant and I start talking about something, and I look around because I'm like, I hope I'm not being filmed because I'll be canceled. I don't say anything bad. I just talk about things and have different opinions than some people. That is enough today in our society to lose your job and to be persona non grata. And that is what Chris Harrison is now. And as much as I don't think it's right, it's always the people who would never stand up for anybody else that are falling prey to this cancel culture machine. And I've said this a million times, but it's worth repeating. I think it was Winston Churchill who said, an appeaser is somebody who feeds the alligator, hoping that it will eat them last. And that's what a lot of people in our culture have done for years and years and years. They've jumped on the bandwagon when someone else says something wrong. They've gotten on their high horse and said, yep, they deserve to lose their job. Oh my gosh, I never again will I talk to that person. And then when it comes around for them, there's nothing they can say. And that is why I love that Marcus brought this up, because it gives me such an excuse to talk about The Bachelor, first of all. But that is why people like Tucker Carlson are awesome, because Tucker Carlson never wants anybody fired. I mean, he'll bring up people's hypocrisy, but he never calls for anyone to lose their job. And when it came out that Tucker Carlson had a video where he swore and said some derogatory things, they wanted him to apologize. And he said, I'm not apologizing. And it's not because he was necessarily proud of what he said, but he knew it wasn't the apology that they wanted. They wanted him to be jobless and to be hopeless. That's what they want. It's never, when I see these people making these statements, it's one thing if you believe it. It's one thing if you do something wrong and you go, and I've had those moments, Jared. Like, I've come out here before, mostly on Howie's show, and said something trying to be funny. And then you kind of go home, you think about it, and you're like, I kind of wish I hadn't said that. That might hurt somebody's feelings. That's different. Saying what you believe, or saying, oh, maybe we can have a conversation about race, or maybe we can have a conversation before we ruin this girl's life. And then to make a statement apologizing for it, it's not good. And there's been so many situations like that. I remember one time this actor I liked, he tweeted out that he really liked Ben Shapiro. He said, I totally disagree with Ben Shapiro, but he's a really nice guy. And the mob came after him. And he literally retracted his statement and said, never mind. I'm so sorry I offended you guys. And that was the first time where I was like, what is happening? Like, we used to be about open dialogue. And I read from a piece the other day on here. I'm trying to think of who it's from. I read so many of these conservative bloggers. But the guy said, he said the old expression, I disagree with you, but I'll fight to the death for your right to say what you believe. Yeah, I'm butchering it, but it's something like that. And he said the new one would be, I disagree with you. You are exiled. Goodbye. And that's true. It's, and yesterday, Jared, and then I promise I'm going to get to my live here. But yesterday, people found this turtle, and he was 189 years old. And they were putting up this picture of the turtle. They were like, I can't remember what his name was.
Was it Mitch McConnell?
No, Jared. There's a picture of a turtle, and they said, this turtle's 189 years old. And then people started retweeting it and said, wait till they go through his old tweets. He's going to be so canceled. And it's funny, but it's also like, ugh, we got to stop with this. It's, you know, it's not good. If you've been thinking of getting away to the Fallens Bee Inn, please consider coming the weekend of February 19th. That is this weekend. I am so excited. We're going to have the best time. It's a listener getaway. And just for my listeners, you'll receive 10% off for that weekend. Besides enjoying a cocktail by the fire, we will also enjoy Dennis's famous homemade breakfast. My first deal for the Fallens Bee Inn sold out right away. I was going through my pictures today of the Fallens Bee Inn. I could not be more excited about this trip. It's an easy getaway. You feel so refreshed after going there because you're in nature. It's quintessential New England. You'll feel good. It's a little bit of a break from the everyday. And it's just a lovely, lovely place to go. You'll feel like you're back in your grandmother's kitchen when Dennis cooks. I mean, the biscuits, the grits. And you know what, guys? If you're coming this weekend, don't worry about it. You'll see it for yourself. You won't have to hear me talking about it. This time of year, you can take advantage of the inn snowshoes and discover the beautiful area. To reserve your room today, go to fallensbeeinn.com. Excellence is assured. TripAdvisor has given the Fallens Bee Inn the Hall of Fame Award for 2018 and for 2019. Fallensbeeinn.com, the best of the past. When we get back, I'm going to actually piggyback off Marcus's call because I have a whole stack here. I was going to go through the Capitol stuff, but you guys get it. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's never going to answer those questions. There we go. That's the recap on that. But there's a lot of woke news right now coming out with climate change. And the stories are kind of funny, like Bill Gates telling people that they have to, you know, become vegetarians to save the planet. So we're going to talk about that on the other side. If you want to join in, feel free, 844-500-4242. We'll be back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the whiskey priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. She's got the voice of an angel.
I've been called the songbird of my generation, of people who've heard me.
It's Grace Curley.
Listen to me, Hatcher. You gotta tell them Silent Breed is people! We gotta stop them somehow!
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. We're gonna be talking a little bit about not just cancel culture, but woke culture in general. But first, I read an ad in the last segment, and I guess I was going hyper speed. That was the Fallens Bee Inn. You guys should check out the Fallens Bee Inn. It's a beautiful resort, and you can go to fallensbeeinn.com to check it out. I will be there this weekend. Guys, I want to talk first of all about climate change, because I thought John Kerry was the biggest hypocrite when it comes to climate change. He takes the flying squirrel because there's no other choice for people like him. But we have someone who's really trying to steal his thunder here, and that would be Bill Gates. Bill Gates wants you to know that all rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. You can get used to the taste difference. That's a quote from Bill Gates. All rich countries should move to 100% synthetic beef. You can get used to the taste difference.
So I'm just curious, since Bill Gates is one of the largest farmland owners in the United States.
Yes, good point.
And does a lot of things with genetically modified foods. Who would be making these replacement meats, shall we call them?
What's up with you and these questions?
I don't know. I'm an inquisitive guy.
You better know? Watch yourself.
Right?
844-500-4242. Do you think you'll be eating synthetic beef? We're going to get back to this in 1 second. But first, today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. He's the absolute best. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit PerfectSmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which Joe Biden news story is your favorite? Joe likes the fireplace, Joe and Jill restore PDA, or Joe plays Mario Kart?
I'm going to say the PDA. Public displays of affection always do not sit well with me. I don't like them. I don't think they're necessary. But for Joe Biden to be partaking in it is really not a good look.
PDA is tied with the fireplace at 32%.
Oh.
But in the lead at 36% is Mario Kart.
Really? Hey, it's nostalgia.
It's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show.
You know what? That song was kind of a jam.
Mario Brothers and Plumbing's a game. We're not like the others who get all the fame. If your sink is in trouble, you can call us on the double. We're faster than the others. You'll be hooked on the brothers.
Oh my gosh, I used to love Mario Kart.
You know, I'm looking at the video and Luigi is kind of the taller, thin one and Mario is the shorter, fat one.
Yeah, so, he was rounder. He was so cute.
So Fredo Cuomo would be Luigi and Andrew Cuomo, the more robust meatball, would be Mario in that equation.
I did like Mario way more than Luigi. Bill, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bill.
Hey, Grace. How you doing? Hey, I had a quick question for you. Why doesn't anyone ever ask John Kerry if he uses the flying squirrel for personal use or for a vacation? I know he flies all over the world for it for personal use, too. And that seems like that would be the right question to ask him.
Yeah, no. And you know what, Bill? You bring up a great point, not just about that, but think about if you really, really were a reporter for the regular average guy or woman, the questions that you could ask, like the questions that they would not expect that you could ask and that people really want to know. That's a perfect example. That's an easy question for a reporter to ask.
That's the most ridiculous thing I ever heard.
And Howie Carr one time told me this, and it's so true. He said the only time these questions ever get asked are by either foreign reporters or by local reporters. It's never the American national media that covers this stuff or that it says, hey, John, why do you have to take a private jet to come to the Paris climate, whatever it's called? And then he says, there's no other choice for someone like me. But it's the reason you get those kind of answers is because they're not expecting real questions from the press ever.
And he always says, well, it's okay for me. I offset my carbon. How do you offset your carbon? Has anybody asked, A, how to offset carbon? And B, how does he specifically offset his carbon from the flying squirrel?
Well, he's blowing so much hot air, you know, that's got to have something to do with it. No, I agree. Is it like buying points for a plane? Like, do you go on and type in like offset carbon and then buy a couple of them for a few grand? Really bizarre. Guys, I see you on the phone lines. We will get right back to the calls after this. 1-844-500-4242. Synthetic beef. It's like, you know, there was a story today by Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, and he said every single move that Biden makes is just pushing people so much into the arms of Donald Trump again because he's doing everything Trump told you he was going to do, but it's worse. We'll be right back with your calls. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We're talking about synthetic meat, climate change, and this just in, because we do have a lot of sound to get to today. Joe Scarborough is insulting small business owners everywhere. But before we get to that, Jack, you're next with Grace on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jack.
Hi, Grace. Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm reading about this story, and it really gets on my nerves. First off, I've had the Beyond Burgers and the normal burgers. I'll take the regular burgers every time. They're so much better, and I won't get used to it. Second off, cattle raising is a pretty big industry in the United States. I just read somewhere that it's over 700,000 farms that are involved in the cattle production industry. Are we going to tell all these people to learn to code, too? And third off, my third point in this, and I'll let you talk about it, is what about all the farting cows? I thought that was a problem with the Green New Deal. There's going to be a lot more of them. I'll let you talk. Bye, Greg.
Wow, Jack, what a great call. Three awesome points. I agree with you that those people, cattle farmers, might have to figure out how to install solar panels or learn to code or whatever the new condescending phrase of the day is for John Kerry. As far as the farting cows, that's a great point. There's going to be a lot more tooting cows. I don't have any answers, Jack. We're going to have to ask, you know, Bill Gates. He seems to have all of the answers. And I just have to say, it's like they know exactly how to tick people off. And I'll give you an example. You tick people off, here are some easy ways to do it. Okay? Because people can withstand a lot. People expect a lot of stupidity from their politicians. But you start messing with people's kids and keeping them out of school, messing with people's kids' mental health specifically and their education. That's a way to tick people off very fast. And that's a way to get people, you know, really passionate about the subject. Number two is you take away people's jobs. That would be like the Keystone XL pipeline people and other people whose jobs are going to be lost. Number three, you tell people they can't eat meat. And it's like, that might go ahead of the other two. You want to tell someone who loves a delicious medium rare steak that they've got to eat synthetic beef? You better get ready. You better have a plan, because those people are not going to, like Jack said, those people are not going to get used to it.
Those dissidents will be dealt with if you don't eat your government-issued protein meat base.
Ugh, it sounds disgusting. Honestly, I was really debating what to eat tonight, and I've had steak a lot this past week. I'm having it again. I'm taking a nice bite of it, and this one's for you, Bill Gates. By the way, Bill Gates, you have four private jets. Let's make a deal here. I will consider trying the Beyond Burger or the veggie burger of your choice if you give up one of those private jets in lieu of maybe taking in a rowboat. Leave our meat alone. My body, my choice. I get to choose what steak I eat and when I eat it. Thank you very much, sir. Speaking of buffoons, and I do see you guys on the line. We will get to your calls in one sec, but I have to say this. This cut from Joe Scarborough is so obnoxious. And the thing about Joe Scarborough is he's a snob. He said this a lot. I used to have to pull Joe Scarborough all the time. And he would say things like, he would go on these bloviating rants where he would say, you know, if you don't understand that, step away from your blender. Like, you're so stupid. Step away from your blender. I'm paraphrasing, but he's just a jerk. He's smug, he's arrogant, and he's a jerk. And he was also on the same panel where they made fun of Devin Nunes for being a dairy farmer. So he's got a real problem with working class Americans. Listen to this cut from Joe Scarborough.
We'll say, well, you know, this mom and pop store was vandalized during the summer riots, and that's just as bad as the United States Capitol being vandalized. No, jackass, it's not. The capital of the United States of America is the center of American democracy. And while I am a fierce believer in people's right to defend their private property, I'm not going to confuse a taco stand with the United States Capitol.
You know what's so funny about this is that the politics of today really shows you and exposes how these people think. When they thought they could use this Capitol thing for their political benefit, it became the most sacred land they'd ever seen. And I'm not saying the Capitol isn't an important place, I get that, but you know, to some people who feed their families with maybe the money from that taco stand, that's a pretty important place to them. I know it's not to Joe Scarborough. I know he makes millions of dollars a year from sitting at the desk and going back and forth with Mika Brzezinski about God knows what. But some people's businesses are as important to them as the Capitol is to Joe Scarborough.
And he may not have been paying attention, but it wasn't a taco stand that was vandalized. Cities were burned down. 30 people were killed in cold blood in the streets. Businesses, communities were destroyed. Communities of color were completely ravaged as they were spurred on by certain politicians who happened to be in that very same Capitol that day.
And if you don't remember that, and I would suggest this to Joe Scarborough, but I know he only watches like MSNBC and CNN. But some of those videos of especially black business owners in those communities where they're just devastated and they're crying and they just don't understand. And I remember one where there was a woman who was crying because the one place she could get to, the one store she had access to get food, had been burnt down. She just didn't understand what was happening, like why people would do this. But the level of just arrogance from that guy, he just doesn't even care to understand it.
And honestly, to immediately go to taco stand, come on.
Yeah, no.
Like, is that the first place you go to? Come on.
He's a jerk. There's no other. I mean, I would dress it up in some fancier way and give you some analysis, but Joe Scarborough is just not a nice guy. I've come to that conclusion. I've only been in this business for about 5 or 6 years, but I can say that pretty confidently. Jane, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Jane.
Hi, Grace. I just I can't get over the Cuomo asking himself the questions. He kind of rephrases questions and then answers them, and it's so obnoxious. He says, "Did people make mistakes? Yes. Am I to blame for everything? No." And he's just too much to handle. I feel like people that do that are obnoxious.
Jane, I first of all, you're 100% right about people who do that. I'm a little annoyed with you because I didn't notice that he did that, and now I'm not going to be able to listen to anything without noticing. No, but
yeah,
it's a great point.
Every single day. Every day he does it.
People do, they do that a lot. It's similar to setting up a straw man because you can change the question. Was there a void in information? Yes. Is that our fault? No. And you start to just ask yourself those questions. Jane's absolutely right. What great callers today. Great point. Wendy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Wendy.
Hi, how are you today?
Good,
thanks
what's
for
up?
Taking my call.
Of course.
The whole thing about becoming vegan and Bill Gates pushing this. Well, there's a tick out there that has been bioengineered to make you allergic to red meat. Did you know that?
Yeah. Oh, I did not know that. Go ahead, Wendy.
Okay, so it's called, no, it's not a deer tick. It's the Lone Star tick. And what happened is I was getting all these bites, and I knew it was a tick, so I took a picture of it, and I went to the doctor, and they kept on testing me for Lyme disease. Well, 2 years went by, and I was up all night long, sick as a dog in the bathroom. And nobody, my doctor wouldn't diagnose it. All he could say is, oh, you're under a lot of stress. Here's some Xanax. It'll make you feel better. So after 2 years and after about 4 Lyme disease tests, I started doing research, and I found the Lone Star tick is actually causing meat allergies. I can't eat red meat. I haven't been able to eat red meat for 2.5 years.
Now, Wendy, do you think if you could eat red meat, would you go back to eating it?
Yes, absolutely.
Even if Bill Gates
you don't get used to the taste. The texture's different. and it's got a lot of sodium in it. So you may be fixing one thing, but you're jacking it up with things that are even worse for you.
No, and Wendy, that's a really good point, because when they brought out the Beyond Burger, and I'm not hating on the Beyond Burger. I mean, I've had veggie burgers before. I used to bring them into the office sometimes because they're easy to freeze and cook in the microwave. But like Wendy said, you're cutting down on some things, but they're pumping them full of all of these oils and all of these weird things that you're getting too much of other stuff. I know that doesn't sound scientific, but I'm not Bill Gates. I'm just a radio show person. So that is my take on that. I agree with you, Wendy. I'm never going to get used to it, nor should we have to get used to it. Why do we have to get used to these things?
And that's my complaint about vegan food. And I know that it's healthy, and I know there's nothing harmful in it, but you're making things that aren't something into a replication of something that it should be when that something exists.
And is available. Just,
yeah, it's just too, like, cake should not have bean sprouts in it. It just shouldn't. It's
yeah,
just,
no, I agree.
That's a sacred food.
Me and Jared are finally agreeing on something, and that is the cake should not have bean sprouts in it. Mrs. Snoopy, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mrs. Snoopy.
Hi, Grace. Thank you so much for taking my call. I just wanted to go down memory lane a bit when some of these protesters were violently surrounding the White House, and they had to move the president into a safe space. I don't know if you can recall that. It was months ago, but it did happen. And all of the mainstream media had a field day referring to the president as Bunker Boy. They thought it was the funniest thing they had ever seen.
Yeah, no, Mrs. Snoopy, you're totally on point with that. I saw that today. You don't hear about the Bunker Boy story as much anymore because they don't want you to remember. There was a reason. There was reports that he had to go down into his bunker. And to your point, Mrs. Snoopy, there was also a problem with the rioters where they were put in jail, and then there was a bail fund set up. And one of the people who contributed to that bail fund was Kamala Harris. And that kind of led to a whole nother conversation during this impeachment trial, which is we talk about violence coming from Trump supporters, but when there was violence burning down cities over the Summer of Love, Kamala Harris was supporting it. And Don Lemon freaked out about that. He did not like that people were conflating the issues. Let's play a little bit of Don Lemon before we go to the break. This is Cut 10.
So Lindsay is reaching right now. If you're wondering what all this Pandora's box talk is about, this is a story. After the police killing of George Floyd in Minneapolis last spring, thousands of people, including Black Lives Matter supporters, took to the streets. Kamala Harris tweeted support for donations to the Minnesota Freedom Fund, which helped people post bail if they were arrested while protesting. So let's set the record straight. There was no bailing out. Right? Kamala Harris tweeted about a fund to help people post bail.
Can I get a fact check? Where's Daniel Dill? Where are all these fact checkers that put themselves into, bent themselves into pretzels to try to figure out if Trump was lying? Can we get a fact check on this? How many Pinocchios is Don Lemon saying right there in that statement? It's not even worth breaking down because it's just not true. I'm amazed. Guys, I see you on the lines. We will get to more of your calls, 844-500-4242. But first, it's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. I saw the change with Howie and with the mailroom manager. Many people walk around not smiling. I think this is something that a lot of people do and they get used to it over time, but you shouldn't get used to it. It's like not eating the steak that you want. You should have the smile that you want when you want it. And now is the time. Don't go around with a half smile trying to hide your mouth because you're insecure about it. If you talk to the people at Perfect Smiles, I promise they can help you. Watch their testimonial videos at perfectsmiles.com. Incredible transformations. Perfect Smiles, it's conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. Parking is free. The staff is warm and welcoming. Have you been wanting to upgrade your look for years? Contact them today and look at their video testimonials. Go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Also, a lot of people right now are stressed out, grinding their teeth. That's not good. So if you just want to go in for a checkup, feel free. Change your smile, change your life. That's perfectsmiles.com. I will be back on the other side with more calls, and we got a lot more sound to get to before the last hour. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. We are talking all about wokeness because, you know, it's not just meat that's off the table. Math is off the table. Math is racist now. I read a whole story on that. I think Howie covered it yesterday. Curriculums are starting to base themselves around this idea that math is racist.
Surely not Common Core.
You know, Jared, I would read you the whole story here. Actually, you know what? Let's pull it out. Oregon promotes divisive critical race theory in math curriculum. Math is racist, or at least that's what they're saying. A five-part lesson for educators to counteract their own racism in math education. It is a virtual micro course to help educators in valuing and elevating student discourse in the math classroom. There's a lot of parts of math that are racist, like showing your work is considered racist now, and grading is considered racist. I just have to say, it makes me a little bit nervous about like our engineers in the future. You know what I mean? Like, if we can't,
how
say,
are you going to build effective solar panels if you can't learn math?
That's exactly it, Jared. And then I have to read this little piece here. Now, you heard that, because I know Jared keeps up with all the pop culture, you heard that Harry and Meghan are having a second child.
I did now.
That would be formerly known as Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. There's an interview. They're being interviewed by this, I don't know if it's Goodall. Goodall? I don't know who it is. At this point in the conversation, the interviewer interrupts the royals to say that she hoped he and Meghan would not have too many kids. Harry immediately alleviated any worries she might have and said, two maximum. It's not surprising that Harry, a longtime environmentalist, would want to stick to a two-kid limit. Is this a normal interaction? Like, if I was having kids and I said to someone, oh, yeah, I'm having another baby, and they said, I hope you're not going to have more than two, I would say, I hope you get help. I hope you're okay. That's an odd response. But he's like, oh, no. He's very good at this point at backing down and giving people what they want, because he just said, oh, no, just two. That's where we're at right now.
So I don't necessarily know the kid argument. Is the argument that too many children creates too much CO2?
Yes.
It warms the planet because, well, you have to feed them meat.
I
cannot wrap my head around all the different qualifiers for this exhaustive crisis of our day.
Well, I just don't understand how they're really convincing people. Like, you're going to base how many kids you have. That's the biggest decision you'll probably ever make in your life, around what AOC and Greta Thunberg and Bill Gates and John Kerry and who am I missing here, Jared? Who else is a real known climate activist? You're going to base it around what these people say? These serious people? It's crazy. Russ, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Russ.
You know, Grace, what really gets me, I'm 73 years old. The first time I went to Washington as a kid, I was like, Mr. Smith goes to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Now I look at Washington as nothing but a self-serving, corrupt central government. And the only place of honor in Washington, D.C. is at Arlington National Cemetery. And believe when I say this, even at the Pentagon, okay, they could find turncoat generals that would lead troops to come into our house and take our guns and everything else. And when I hear, you know, weasels turn around and make comments like that individual did.
All right, this is The Grace Curley Show. Thanks for the call, Russ. We'll be back.